What we're going to do right now is we're going to talk about clinical manifestations of disease. These are kind of things that a lot of different diseases have in common. So they're not diseases themselves, but they're things that diseases cause. So the very first one is dyspnea, aka difficulty breathing or shortness of breath. There's no exact cause, but there's some ideas that people have behind them. We don't really care about them. I just put them there for your own interest. For later on when you get to be cool and you're more interested, you can say, why do people get short of breath? Well, here's some theories. Now, what we do care about is signs and symptoms. So the first one we have is flaring of the nostrils. Why else would people flare their nostrils? Can you flare your nostrils? Okay, a person being angry might be flaring their nostrils. But people who are short of breath will typically, as they breathe in, their nostrils will flare out. They're trying to get more air. If you notice someone who's just exercised and they're going, if they're breathing through their nose, chances are their nose will be flaring. Accessory muscle use. So use of the sternocleidomastoid, use of the external intercostals. So you can see that person going, yeah, they're not just breathing down here or even up here. They're breathing the whole chest, sternocleidomastoid, everything. And then retractions. They might be breathing in more than their bronchi can allow, so they actually begin to collapse a little bit, and the retractions usually in the abdomen and between the ribs. Dyspnea on exertion is an early sign of dyspnea. So at rest, the person breathes just fine. But when they demand a little bit more of their body, say they go up a flight of stairs, say they go to check their mail out in the block. How many of you live in a building or an apartment complex or where your mail, you have to walk a little bit distance to get to it? You've got like a mailbox that's like off. Okay, some people, they can't do that, so they stop checking their mail. Dyspnea on exertion. Orthopnea and paroxysmal nocturnal dyspnea are also forms of dyspnea when a person lies down. Then we have our abnormal breathing patterns. So a normal breathing pattern, first of all, has a tidal volume of about 400 to 800 milliliters. So you know, every time you take a breath, if you're an average person, you're going to be taking a breath between 480 milliliters and 800 milliliters. And you're going to take a breath somewhere between 6 to 20 per minute, although the 6 is really low if you ask me, but that's what that book said at the time. There's a short expiratory pause. So you breathe in, you breathe out, you pause for a second, then you repeat the cycle. Sigh breaths, 10 to 12 per hour. Do a sigh breath. So note, watch this the next time you are around people studying in the library, not talking too much. What am I saying? Everyone talks in the library. Anyway, the next time you're around people who aren't talking very much, who are just concentrating on some activity, what you'll notice is that about every 5 minutes or so, they'll go, and they'll just give you like a bigger breath. That's a sigh breath. Sometimes that will translate into an actual yawn. But the reason is, over time, your body accumulates a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more carbon dioxide than those tidal breaths can handle. So your body gives a big breath to kind of get rid of it and reset the system. So you do those about 10 to 12 times per hour, which is about every 5 to 6 minutes.
So when you talk,
Right. Yeah. Small breathing, we already talked about what this is in health assessments. Anyone want to do it for us? Anyone want to demonstrate? No? I'm not really that good at it. But you need to become good at it. All right, so big breaths and fast breaths. So the two things together, fast breaths and big. The two things that we associate with it are, Say again? Okay, so exercise and acidosis. And in particular, what kind of acidosis? Diabetic ketoacidosis, which we'll learn about in a lot more detail next semester. Labored breathing, also called obstructed breathing. This is when you're trying to breathe through an obstructed airway. It's like... Yeah, you try, there's something blocking the ability to breathe. What would be the breath sound that you might hear in that situation? Okay, possibly wheezes, and what else? If it's a bigger airway that's blocked. Stridor. So typically it's going to be slow, because it takes longer to get the air through. You're typically going to have a larger tidal volume. So the person's not going to breathe in that small, normal half a liter. They're going to be going, they want to fill up their whole lungs. And there's usually a prolonged inspiratory or expiratory time. So it takes them longer to do one than it does the other. What would cause that? Croup, asthma, COPD, bronchitis. Then we have restricted breathing. Restricted breathing is where you have a very small tidal volume and it's very quick. It's something like this. Who's going to have that kind of restricted breathing? Small amounts, but quick. Someone in pain. Someone who doesn't want to move their abdomen or chest because it hurts to breathe. Panting. Smaller panting is sometimes called panting. Really is type of Kussmaul. Then we have gasping, which is present during shock and cerebral hypoxia. So that's where a person breathes like this. So every breath is like a gasp. And it's usually what we call an agonal breath, which means that a person is getting ready to die. Sighing is common in anxiety. Now, we said that anxiety typically causes, like, panic attacks. What do they cause? What kind of breathing pattern? Hyperventilation. So, on the other hand, though, if you're nervous and you're trying not to show it, what do? You act super calm. So you actually control my breathing. Don't let anyone know I'm nervous. It's okay. I'm not really nervous. No, I'm not nervous at all. If you ever, anyone here ever been skydiving? Okay, when you're on the plane going up, look at the people around you. You'll notice that an awful lot of them are going, it looks like they're all bored to death because they're all yawning. Well, actually, they're anxious. They've been controlling their breathing so much that their body's going, need a big sigh breath here, thank you. So they're going to sigh more often. So if you were so inclined, I guess you could do a research study where you film people doing something and count the number of sigh breaths. I'm sure someone's done some studies like that. Chain Stokes, slowing of blood to the brain stem. Again, this is an agonal breathing pattern. Person is getting ready to die. How does it go? Okay, so, Kelly, you want to do it for us? You're a really good breather. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to pause. Everyone pause. Then take small breaths. Now make them bigger. Bigger, bigger, pause, and then the whole thing starts over again. So it's not just it's not how fast they go, but it's also how big they go. So you start off with the pause, and then small breaths, getting bigger, 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 pause again. And now I'm really dizzy.